are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
I'm excited for this message, and I've been nervous all morning, and sometimes I get nervous about preaching, and sometimes I'm like really comfortable in it, but this morning I'm a little bit nervous, and I don't know really why. I've been jittery all morning, but let's just all lean into this. Let's see what God has to say to us. And if you've heard a message like this before, let's just lean in, because there is God's always got fresh truth for us, even within the same truth, if you know what I mean. You know, you see it from a different angle, and God has something to just blow our mind again. It's why we do communion every single week at church, and it continually blows us up and goes, wow, God is great. So I'm hoping this morning that'll happen for you today as well. So for visitors, as you heard, we are in March fast. We are 3 days into this thing that we do as a church, and it doesn't have to be done as a church. It can be done at any point in your life, but where we as a church just decide to do this together, a lot of us, and really grow in our relationship with God together as we fast. And this might be the first time that you've ever done a fast, or it might be the first time you've ever done it with us as a church, but I want you to be confident that God will do a mighty work in you as you decide to put some things aside and give that time over to Him. And just quickly before we get started on today's message, I want to encourage you around this area of fasting. So fasting is taught and encouraged right throughout the Word of God. The one main reason is to draw near to God. And a lot of the time we did see people, and we do see people fasting for something. In the Bible, they fasted for safety, they fasted for health, they even fasted as an act of repentance, they fasted as a sign of mourning. But no matter the reason, it was all to come before God and show Him with more than our words that we need You, God. It's taking it further than just saying, yes, God, we need You. It's doing something with our lives to say to God in an even greater way, God, we need You right now. And I just want to clarify that need as well, because that need is not a, God, I need You right now to come here and do this in my life because I need You. It's not a demanding need. It's a, on my knees, God, I need You. God, I need You because I can't do this on my own. So we see that fasting taught and exampled as it's a longing for God. And I thought of it this way. You know, you can plant a seed for a fruit tree. And what do you get out of that seed? Eventually, you hope to get a tree. But more than a tree, you hope to get fruit from that tree. And I thought the same thing about fasting. As we sow the seed, as we come to fast, we sow the seed, and not only do our prayers get answered, and not only do we see breakthrough, but areas of our life that need adjustment or need some change, they come up and they become apparent, more apparent to us. And we have the opportunity through that to make decisions about those changes that need to be made. For myself, I have struggled mightily with my morning routine with God. Oh my goodness, it is just a hard thing for me. Like, I'm dragging myself out of bed. We got any snooze button champions in the house today? Anybody here? I'm one of you, man. Give me 5 or 6 snoozes. I'll take them. I'll take them, God, anytime. But I've decided for this month, and Trenna is with me as well, and we've decided, like, to do this overwalk at 6 o'clock. 6 a.m. God, why does 6 a.m. exist? 6 a.m. in the morning. So we roll out of bed and we rock here and we look rubbish, but we are here and we are saying to God, God, it is about more than our words, but it is about us actually doing this to say to You, God, we need You in our lives. And here's a powerful thing about fasting, that by not eating or by not watching TV or whatever it is you decide, or for us, by getting up early, you're actually saying to your flesh, you're saying to this, you don't rule. You don't rule. We are taking captive the desires of our flesh and saying, no, God and Your desires come first. Yeah? Amen? And I know that there's a flow on effect from that. And when you look back on those times where you were able to say no and where you were able to commit to something that causes discomfort in your life or something, we're putting something aside that's a part of our normal routine, that we are preparing ourselves and God is preparing us for those future battles that we are inevitably going to face and the ones that do require us to say, no, no flesh, no, God first. God, you and your desires come first in my life. And God knew we'd have this battle, and Paul in his letter to the Romans had this revelation. Let's look at Romans 6, verse 6. And it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So if you've decided this month to fast, I just encourage you, enjoy the process. Enjoy the process of getting closer to God and understand that it's, that what you're doing is preparing yourself and not just doing stuff for now, but you're preparing yourself for the future and what God has for you in the future. Amen? Don't focus on what you're fasting. Focus on God. It's not about what we're not doing. It's about what God is doing in us at that point. So cool. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to come and sit under your word. And we just pray that your truth would reign this day, that it would not just be words that we hear, but it would be revelation to us. It would be truth that we would not only be able to hear, but that we'd be able to live out. So Father, have your way in us. We open up our hearts to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are going to continue our series, Jesus Is. Who's enjoyed that series so far this year? Yeah, a few people? I have. I definitely have. We've had some great revelation. As Chris said, we had two great messages last week. Nick's on Jesus is perfect, and Chris spoke on Jesus is our righteousness. And as always, you can go on the website and listen to all the messages that we've preached in this series so far. And a couple of weeks ago, I encouraged the church on Sunday night for us, to be able to lean into the series that we're doing and to lean in a greater way. If you're anything like me, and when you come sometimes on a Sunday, it goes in this ear and out that ear, and someone asks you at lunchtime, "Oh, what did they speak about?" I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, I suppose. Jesus, maybe. I think God was mentioned. We opened the Bible." You know, if you're like that, then do something about it and actually get something to write stuff down. Get a journal. Maybe it's your Jesus Is journal that you can write things down for the messages that we speak here. But not only that, but you can take it aside and have at home. And if revelation comes to you at home, scribble that down as well. And you never know when you're going to need that for encouraging someone else along the way. Cool. Now, I'm going to teach you something today. I know we've said hi to each other, but I want to teach you something different and a way to greet maybe the other person that you didn't say hi to today. So if you are on the left, this is a couple's thing. You can try and do it in three if you want. If you're on the left, why don't you turn to the person next to you? Say hi. That's it. Hi is the first thing. Now, we're going to do a handshake. This is a special handshake, though. Now, do we know how to do a fist bump? Get your fist and put it up next to the person on the left. Get your fist up and put it to, yep. The person on the right, now, I want you to come in with the fist, but you're going to open your hand and grab the fist, all right? And then shake it. That's it. If you're by yourself, you can do it yourself. You guys have just learned the gear shift. That's the gear shift handshake. So feel free to take that to work with you tomorrow. I'm sure your work colleagues will appreciate you. Talk about an icebreaker, am I right? What are you doing? If they run the other way, just apologize and shake the hand properly. All right, let's open up our Bibles today. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John. And I'm going to have it on the screens if you don't have your Bible, but you can open it up on the app. Or in your real Bible, let's do it. We're in John 1, verse 1 to 5. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This scripture we just read in John, it refers to the Word, and the Word is actually Jesus. Jesus is the Word, the very communication of God to humanity, to us. It's revealing the spoken He's revealing the spoken word of God to us. He was in the beginning, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. And here's where I want to land today, and I've put it in bold up on the slide there. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I've titled this message for us today, if you're writing notes, Jesus is life. Jesus is life. If you look around you today, and I know we've said hi to a couple of people today, if you look around you, we are all in different places in our lives right now, and you all have different reasons as to why you're in church today, and you might have been invited along by a friend or some family today, or you might just be checking church out for yourself, or you might be here just because that's what you do on a Sunday morning, you come along to church. But no matter the reason for you coming to church today, you're going to fall into one of these two categories I want to talk about. You're either going to be someone who knows what it's like to live life with Jesus, or you're going to be someone who knows what it's like to live life without Jesus. And you can actually fall into both of those categories naturally, because we have all had a long life and fall into one of those. And to be honest, most of us would fall into both of those categories. But I'm not talking from a salvation point of view. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how sometimes we can feel, a feeling point of view. And we know feelings lie, but sometimes, and Nick shared with us last week about times in her life where she just felt weak when it came to her relationship with God. And I know there's been many times for me, and I'm sure there have been for you, where sometimes we just feel a bit distant from God. We have times where we feel really close, and we have times where we feel a little bit distant. And most often for me, those distant times are around times in my life where I've allowed something that has been a small area of my life that I should have squashed, allow to become bigger and bigger, and too big that it's come to the point where it's sort of edged God out a little bit. And that can sometimes happen, those small little issues or those small little areas where we are spending too much time on something can eventually become big and edge God out, give him a bump out the way. But we know that through those times, it's not God that moves, is it? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not move. It is only us that move further away from him. Dale Cocaine shared a series on Romans here at church a few years ago on Sunday nights, and he said one thing that's stuck with me ever since. And he gave an analogy of there being two wolves. You've got a white wolf and you've got a black wolf. And whatever we do with our lives, there's stuff coming in. We are always feeding one of these wolves. And one of them is going to come and is going to grow up big and healthy and strong. And the other one's actually going to starve. And it is our decision, which wolf are you feeding? Which wolf are you feeding? The black one or the white one? But I thought this morning to bring that analogy to life, to let us see it a little bit more. I've got a little clip to show you. And it's not really wolves, but let's have a look anyway.
Milkshake.
Out of my way, kids.
Pancake.
Milkshake. I'm starting to understand why people like this game. Very zen. Milkshake.
Hey, look what I found. More pancakes.
Let's speed it up.
Pancake. Eat, little buddy. Eat.
Ralph, you might want to try feeding the kitty for a little while.
No, the kitty gets the milkshake.
The bunny gets the pancake.
So that's just a little game that you can give to kids to play. It doesn't really happen like that. It just helps them decide, make decisions, and put something and sort things out. But anyway, which are you feeding, the bunny, or you feeding that kitten? And it's up to us which one gets bigger and which one gets stronger. I was speaking to Cass about this message, Jesus' life, this week, and I asked her the question because she didn't come to know Jesus until she was in year 12, and so it was a little bit later, and I asked her the question, what was life like before you knew Jesus? Can you put into words what it was like before you knew Christ? And the first thing she said really stood out to me, and it wasn't about what she could do or couldn't do or any of those sorts of things. She said it was purposeless. And I thought that was really a great way of maybe describing what it is like before we know Christ. In Proverbs 19:21, it says this: "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Before we know Jesus, we can still be involved in many, many great things. Life can be great, but if we're really truthful, we can never, ever truly answer that big old question, that age-old question: what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? And many have tried and would have eventually found out in their uncovering of that truth that purpose is not actually a destination. Purpose is not something that we get to. God's purpose for our life is not something we attain. It's something that we live out. You know what I'm saying? It's something we live out on a day-to-day basis. It's to glorify Him through every aspect of our lives, not just the parts that we think, you know, whether it's church or whatever it is in reading our Bible, we glorify you in this moment, but it's in every aspect of our lives. That's why it's great that you can be doing anything and still be remain on your purpose, which is to give God glory in what you're doing. I was thinking of it like this, and if you imagine there's a rope that is tied down to the stage here, and it just goes up and magically just goes up into the ceiling and through the ceiling, and it's really strong. It's a steady rope. And sometimes I think in life let's use this rope as purpose. Okay, purpose in life, in its generality. And we all, I think, in our own human nature, God has put something in us that we are searching for the purpose of life. We are trying to understand and get why are we actually here. And we would all walk up to this rope and look at this rope and go, purpose, hey, all right. Well, that seems like something that I need to do with my life. I think there's something that I need to do around this rope. So what do we do? And we walk up to this rope and go, all right, well, I mean, these hands aren't going to work. So there's some gloves here, and maybe these are the gloves of a career. Maybe these are my career gloves, and I put those on, and I go, all right, here we go. Let's have a go at this purpose thing. But thing is, before we know Jesus, it's as if we plunge our hands and our gloves into this big vat of grease before we go and try and climb this rope, which is purpose in our life. And what inevitably happens is, no matter how hard we grip that rope, it just doesn't work. The purpose in life, it just doesn't work. And no matter whether we strip those gloves off and throw them in the bin, we may go back and these are the partner gloves that we have, or these are the kids' gloves that we have, or the business idea gloves that we have, and we put them on, we get back. But every time, before we know Christ, we plunge them into that grease and we struggle to get anywhere when it comes to purpose. But when we know Christ, and when we know that His purpose for our life, it doesn't matter which gloves you end up putting on, because He gives you the strength to be able to grip that, and He gives you the focal point to be able to go, all right, I'm living God with purpose, and we begin to grip and we begin to climb along. And as I said, it doesn't matter. These can be the gloves of a business idea. These can be the gloves of a partner. They can be the gloves of anything in life and be able to have purpose in what we're doing. And remember, purpose is not the destination. It's the journey. It's the day-to-day decisions that we have as we climb. So what does life with Christ look like? And I don't know, if we ask that question around here, that we have many, many different answers, because they're all based on our own experiences. But what is true life? What is the life that only Christ can give? Let's see how Jesus describes it. And this is a verse that There it is. We almost don't need to put it up. John 10:10. What does it say? Go, you say it. The thief comes only to... Excellent. That's what happens when I don't lead you. It's like singing happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Let's say it again together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. This is how Jesus Himself describes the life that He gives us. Abundant. Abundant. And you could have heard this verse, and you probably have heard this verse hundreds and hundreds of times without actually stopping to think, is this life that I'm living right now, is what's going on in my life a reflection on that verse? Is this an abundant life that I'm actually living right now? And it really it really is determined by our own definition of the word abundantly. What do we think an abundant life is versus what is the definition of the abundant life that Jesus is actually giving us? And I want to look at that today. Right throughout Scripture, we hear stories and we see wisdom when it comes to people being prosperous. The book of Proverbs itself is filled with wisdom on many ways we can become prosperous by following godly principles. But abundant life, it can't just be about prosperity, can it? It can't just be about that. Because again, when we read the Word of God, we see numerous people, and Hebrews 11, it gives a great list of these people. They saw great victories in their life. They saw prosperity in their life. But in the very same paragraph that all these people are discussed, it doesn't even like full stop and do a break. It just moves on and it talks about these people who were tortured and who were stoned, who were chained, who were imprisoned, who were persecuted for their faith. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't really sound like an abundant life to me. I don't know. That's a bit difficult. But we see these same people, when they speak in the Bible, they speak about this like this deep-seated joy that they have through life. How can that be possible? How can they be living in a really tough situation and have this deep-seated joy? Paul himself, who was one of those, in his letter to the Ephesians, said this in Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He was giving glory to the abundant God. Yet this is the same Paul who was persecuted and imprisoned and had learned to have contentment in plenty or in lack. This is because abundant life is not just about material blessings. You can write that down. Abundant life is not just about material blessings. Absolutely, yes, God can bless us in amazing ways materially. But if that was all there was to living an abundant life, then we've seen far too many examples of people who have strived after that and who life has been all about the material possessions, and still they feel they don't have an abundant life. Still they are missing something, because abundant life is about more than material blessings. I've just got a couple of points as we sort of close up today. I've got 17 points. No, don't joke. We're not going to be here that long. I've just got a couple of points. A few things that I want us to remember when it comes to this abundant life that Jesus has promised us. Abundant life is about abounding perspective. Abounding perspectives. And what I mean by that is that we can get to a place where our joy and our peace in life are not determined by our circumstances or what we do or we don't have, but by the knowledge of who Jesus is to us personally and what he has done for us. And I know that is so simple. Like, that is such a simple little statement. But there is so much truth associated with that. And man, if we can catch deep revelation of that, our lives are changed forever, forever. Because no matter where you find yourself, there is just an understanding that, that God, I'm in line with your purpose and that you are going to be glorified through this. In Matthew 5:45, it says, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. And there are going to be times in our lives that no matter how good we are doing or how even obedient that we are doing to the principles and to the word of God, we're going to find ourselves in tough positions. We are going to find ourselves in these hard positions. And it's only by gaining godly perspective that we're able to live the abundant life that Jesus has for us in that moment. Jesus is that life. Jesus is life. Where we see opposition, God sees opportunity. Actually, some believers with some problem, they deal with some problems because of their relationship with Christ. The new life in Christ costs us sometimes physically and materially, yet Jesus still says we have abundant life, which is quite interesting. Abounding perspective is about more than having... I thought this point was really important, and that's why I'm going to pause. Abounding perspective is about more than just having a glass half full attitude. It's about way more than just looking on the bright side or being positive, having a positive attitude to everything. It's knowing that through everything, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's in control. And he has decided to use you. He's decided to use us. The sovereign God has decided to use us here on earth. Amazing. Abounding perspective. There's perspective when you have purpose. That's why we talked about purpose before. There is perspective when you know that you have purpose. So number one, abounding perspective. Point number two is this, that living life with Jesus gives us an abundant opportunity. It gives us abundant opportunity and responsibility. Abundant opportunity and responsibility. If you've taken up Pastor Graham's suggestion, I think it was Pastor Graham or it might have been Chris that spoke about reading through the Proverbs. Was that you? Reading through the book of Proverbs in the month of March. Proverbs has 31 chapters and there are 31 days in March. And so you could read, I mean, you'd have to do some catch up because it is day three. But you could read one chapter of Proverbs every day for the next month and you would read the whole of Proverbs. And if you were doing that, you'd be able to see what I'm going to say next is true. Because good decisions, often undertaken because of good spiritual decisions or disciplines, will often lead to greater prosperity. They actually will. Proverbs is full of it. And here's one on bringing our tithe. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with wine." You follow the word of God and you follow biblical and scriptural principles, godly principles, and you see prosperity in your life. You actually do. This is not a message to say prosperity, it shouldn't matter and we shouldn't seek for that in our lives. Absolutely, that's part of God's blessings for us. But the important thing to see in these prosperous things that we see in our lives is God open our eyes not only up to the blessings that are in my life, but to who's giving the blessings in the first place. All glory to God. Yes, we have a breakthrough in our finances. Praise God. Yes, we see we have a healthy family. Praise God. I was thinking about this in relation to my family with Cass and our two kids and three kids. We've got three. We do have three. You kids have one. I just forgot about that other one. I'm not telling you which one it was, though. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I was thinking about Cass and our three kids. Just take a drink of water as well, guys. They're a blessing. All three of them. They're all a blessing. And I was thinking about those, and, you know, We have three kids, and I'm so thankful to God for our family. We are really blessed to have the kids that we have, and they're healthy and they're well and they're great. But I don't sit there and go, wow, I like high five, Cass. We've done a great job because all these kids are doing well and they're great and they're healthy and it's all about us. That's not it. God, praise you. Praise you for the kids that we have. Praise you that you have given us health. Praise you that even though it is difficult sometimes and they don't sleep, praise you, Lord God, because you're in control. And that's right now, by the way. Right now. The one I forgot. No, not really. The blessings come from him. And finally, point number three for the day, abundant life. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Why should we want to have abundant life? Why should that be one of our desires? Why should we not be content with living a life of lack? Because, church, we are blessed to be a blessing. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." Why? "So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We ought to embrace this abundant life that Jesus has promised, not only so that we feel good about ourselves, but so others will see what God has done for us and give glory to God as a response. Praise God. Praise God. I want to finish with a story. I want to tell you a story. And this story is about a guy called Charles, who's right here in our congregation. And the story's not about you, Charles, really, is it? It's about what God has done through you and your obedience. And Charles, a couple of weeks ago, Charles and his wife Milena were sitting at home, and unfortunately Milena couldn't swallow anymore. It just happened, and she was unable to swallow. So an ambulance was called, and they were taken to hospital. And it had happened before a couple of times, and so they perhaps knew what they were in for, but they went to hospital nonetheless. And Charles, through that moment, just noticed as they were sitting in the ward and they were sitting in their little room that there are a couple other beds in the same room, and looked across, and the curtains were sort of drawn on this bed just across the room there. And he could hear this lady who was obviously in pain, clearly in pain, and she was asking for morphine and the nurses were attending to her. And he said as the curtains were drawn back that he could see that she had a tube inside her head, and she was in a bit of pain, and a lot of pain actually. And he felt pity for her. And Charles got up off the chair and walked over to this lady and said, "Hey, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus?" To which the lady burst out in tears and said, "No." And Charles simply asked the question, "Would you like to be born again? Would you like to know Jesus?" And through the tears and all that stuff was going on, she responded, "Yes, I want to know Jesus." And Charles had the opportunity to sit there with this lady and to pray for salvation in her life and to pray for healing in her life. And she has made a commitment. She's going to be in heaven for Jesus. Come on, let's praise God for that amazing testimony. And I was just sitting there in my office as I was talking to Charles on the phone, and lucky you can't see a person on the other end of the phone, because I was like just a mess with God. How amazing that you put Charles in that position for that moment right there, that he had a purpose and he did not say, "No, I'm just going to stay here." But Lord, through this abundance and through this blessing that you have given me to be in this moment, I'm able to be a blessing to others, and I'm going to be able to speak the name of Jesus into this lady here. So Charles said, he told me the next day I came back and she just got up, and the tubes had been removed, and she got up and she was changed. She had joy, and she came and just gave me a hug and said, "Thank you, Charles, thank you, thank you." And every time since, he walked into that room and she got up and gave him a hug and said, "Charles, thank you, thank you." Charles said that which is so good. He said, "The next time I came back and I was to talk to her, I was prepared. I was prepared." And he came and he said, "I just bought one of these little pamphlets that Serge has, Father's Love Letter. It is a simple little thing to put in her hand and say, here's what God says about you. Here's the love that God has for you." To put that in her hand and to lead her through that prayer and to put her on the track of knowing Jesus in her life. She finished up, she left, she was discharged, healed, and we praise God for that. And we just give thanks for God's grace in that moment to be able to put, and through what could have been a really tough situation. And no one likes to see someone, a loved one, go to the hospital. But in that very moment, God was at work. And you might be here today and there's some tough stuff going on in your life. Whether it's emotionally, whether it's with relationships that you have. And I want to pray for you today to gain a godly perspective in that moment. That this abundant life is not just what we think it might be, but it's by knowing that we have a godly purpose even in the tough moments. So if you're in a tough spot right now, I want to pray for you. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. That you need to have godly perspective. That you need God in this moment. Not from a demanding, "God, you better come here right now," but from a humble, "God, I need you in my life. Be glorified through this moment." If that's you and you know that that's that moment for you today, I want to just pray for you. If you want to raise your hand quickly, we're going to say a prayer together. I see that. I see those hands. Yep. Many people. Many people. Come on, let's agree as we pray. to see godly perspective come in those moments, to see God's grace come in those moments, to see Him glorified in these tough times. Come on, church, let's pray. Father, we thank You that we know You, Jesus. We thank You that we don't do life alone. And Lord, we thank You that throughout any situation we find ourselves in, that God, You are greater than that situation. God, You can be glorified in that situation. And I pray for these people who have raised their hands today who acknowledge, I'm in a tough spot. I maybe don't know what to do. God, I don't know what You are doing in this moment. Father God, we pray and we acknowledge today that You are in control. And Father, we pray for godly perspective to come. We pray that we would have, Lord God, peace, that we know that You are at work in these situations. So Father, where a miracle is needed, we pray for a miracle. But Lord God, where perspective is needed, we pray for perspective as well. That we would be able to give You glory through everything we find ourselves doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might be here in church, and I said before, there's two types of people, some who know what it's like to live with Jesus and some who know what it's like to live without Jesus. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today, and Chris said it before as well, an opportunity to know Jesus, to experience that Jesus is life. And again, with every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity just simply to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I just want to raise you, when you raise your hand, and I'm going to pray with you. If you want to ask Jesus to become part of your life, if you want to ask Him to be Lord over your life, to find that godly perspective and abundance. If that's you today, why don't you just quickly slip up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone here today? You want to say yes to Jesus. I see that hand. It's awesome. I see that hand. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone else? Just another moment. Praise You, God. If you raise your hand, you can pop it down. I just want you to say these words after me. And church, let's all say them together so we agree on this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your love for me. Please forgive me of my sins. I turn from my old life and I run towards You. I believe, Jesus, that You died on the cross and rose again. I decide now to make You Lord of my life. Have Your way in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, I love communion. This is probably my favorite part, if not worship. I think both of them go together for me. For a church service, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time where we can sit back and say, wow, look at what Jesus actually did for us. For me, I serve a lot in our youth group in Frontline, and it's a massive honor. It's such an incredible youth group. If you have teenagers who aren't part of it, I really suggest that you get them involved. Last Friday night, we talked about grace, and it was pretty incredible, and we talked about the grace that Jesus showed people while He was on the earth, and the perfect grace that was displayed by Him on the cross for us. That grace was sufficient for us, and it's such an amazing thing that I have that privilege to talk to our young people about that, because it's such a profound truth. And honestly, it blows me away every time I think about it, every time I stop to actually ponder what Jesus did for me and what He achieved for me. Thanks, Jean. You know, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of inheriting God's kingdom. And Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, really? I should have my fate sealed to eternal death to pay for what I've done here on earth. But He shows us such love and mercy and grace and forgiveness on that cross of what He did. It's so incredible. And now we have an avenue to restoration and life through Jesus. As I was preparing for this morning, I found a song from a band called Crowder, and I was preparing in Macca's, and it actually brought me to tears while I was in Macca's, so that was funny. But the team's going to play this song, and really just look at the lyrics. Just listen to what they sing, because it's so incredible and it really explains what I'm talking about. So sit back and we'll have communion after together. Wow. If we could leave that slide up, I think it's the third last one that says, Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. If you're sitting here today and you can't believe that because of the things that you've done, God wants to say to you that that is truth. Jesus' blood washes us clean and he can make us innocent again no matter what you've done, no matter if you believe to yourself, yes, I should be in that fire. Yes, I should be 6 feet under. Jesus' blood makes us clean. 2 Corinthians says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Yes, it's true that we've fallen short of the glory of God, but that chapter in Romans, the very next verse, says we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We now have life through Jesus, and Jesus Himself said that it's an abundant life." So incredible. "And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let's eat. "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood.'" Let's drink. Jesus, we can't say thank you enough for what you did for us on that cross. There is so much that I want to say to you. I don't have the words, Lord. I just thank you so much for what you did for us. You made it possible for us to be with your Father in relationship with Him. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Thank you. If you pass your glasses to the end of the row, the team will come and get them.